The sound of refugees arriving on the shores of the Greek island of Lesbos earlier this year, part of the biggest refugee crisis since World War II. The International Organization for Migration said today that more than 1 million migrants have crossed into Europe in 2015, many of them from conflict zones in Africa and the Middle East. Joining us now are two reporters who have covered this crisis, NPR's Joanna Kakissis in Athens. Joanna, welcome.
Hello.
And the BBC's Nick Thorpe is with us from Budapest, Hungary. Nick, welcome to you.
Hi there.
And Joanna, let me start with you, because Greece has been the center of this in so many ways. This is one of the first places that a lot of these refugees arrive. More than 4,000 crossed into Greece just yesterday. Are they still coming in the same numbers as they have been all throughout the year?
No, we've seen some drops in November and December, but still, that 4,000 people a day arriving means 4,000 people every day, and those end up filtering all the way up to Macedonia and going along the Balkan Trail to their final destinations. And of course, in the last month, Macedonia has shut its borders to everyone who is not Syrian, Afghan, or Iraqi. So that means some people are getting turned away, thousands of people, in fact, and they're ending up in Athens, stuck here. And Athens is running out of places to shelter them.
Well, another place that has shut its borders, or tried to anyway, has been Hungary. Nick, let me go to you. This was a roadblock during the summer when the main train station in Budapest was closed to keep the migrants from continuing on to where they wanted to go. What's the situation in Hungary today?
Well, since the middle of September, the Hungarian-Serbian border has been closed. This was closed with a 110-mile-long razor wire fence built over 6 weeks by the Hungarian government. They then built a similar fence along the border with Croatia. And this has meant, effectively, since the middle of October, that very few, just a handful a day, of migrants or refugees has been getting into Hungary. But what's been very interesting is that the government publicity, some would call it propaganda, against the migrants and refugees has continued. And this is having some effect. So most of the Hungarian population in recent surveys feel that migrants and refugees are regarded as aggressive, over-demand, that they are threatening European civilization or Hungarian civilization. So there's very much an unwelcoming attitude towards them, even though none are actually, as I say, entering the country at the moment.
Why is there so much more anti-refugee, anti-migrant sentiment in Hungary than in other European countries?
I think it's a combination of factors. We have a right-wing government here from which has been in power for some years. It's unchallenged. It's been in power, in fact, since 2010. It's unchallenged. The opposition is very weak, and it really controls, to some extent, a lot of the narrative in the society through public service, radio and television, through advertisements placed, for example, at the moment, just over the Christmas period, there are many advertisements saying these people, we don't know how many terrorists, for example, are mixed up among them. These people threaten our culture is another one of the paper, one of the advertisements running on daily media of different kinds. So, and I think that is having some effect. I think one should also, though, to be fair on the Hungarians, this is a rather homogenous society. It's not a society with many people from, for example, sub-Saharan Africa, from the Middle East. The Hungarian, it's mostly sort of 90 or well over 90%, Hungarian people born in this country, with very little experience of immigration. And so I think the government has been playing very much on those fears, partly for its own political reasons to stay in power and increase its own popularity.
Joanna, you and I saw each other in Greece just a few months ago. And one of the things that I noticed when I was there was that people were quite welcoming to the migrants, although, to be fair, most of the migrants weren't actually staying in Greece. They were moving on. So it wasn't quite as hard, perhaps, to be so welcoming to them. But how are attitudes now?
Attitudes are largely the same. I mean, the bottleneck, if you want to call it that, has just been people have just been starting to get stranded here in the last month. So people are still saying, let's find ways to help them. You see sort of various volunteer groups in Athens trying to house people. There's a chapter of Refugees Welcome that's opened here where people are trying to find housing, like in actual Greek people's homes for refugees who are stuck here. And so that hasn't changed yet. But, again, this is a country that's still in a huge huge economic recession. And if you have a lot of poor people stranded here without resources, and a country without resources that's operating largely with the help of volunteers here, things could go very, very wrong very, very quickly. At the moment right now, though, Greeks are saying, okay, no one else is helping out. And so we have to, so the average Greek is saying we have to, you know, find a way to help, even if it means sharing the very little that we have.
We're speaking with NPR's Joanna Kakissis in Athens and the BBC's Nick Thorpe in Budapest about one of the big stories this year, the migration crisis in Europe. Nick, let me go back to you and ask, what happens now in 2016? Because Angela Merkel, the German chancellor, who has been named Times Person of the Year in part because of her being so welcoming to the refugees in Germany, she seems to have changed her tune a little bit as she's facing a lot of pressure in Germany. Are the migrants going to be able to keep coming into Europe as they have in 2015?
It's a very big question, but despite those pressures on her, the German Chancellor has refused to put an upper limit on the numbers. Though, as you say, she is trying to sort of slow the numbers, trying to discourage people, because clearly, and this has been one of the criticisms against her by her enemies in her own party and across Europe, especially, for example, from the Hungarian government where I'm speaking from, is that her saying at the beginning of September that Germany will help those who turn to her for help, that actually encouraged people to set out in the first place. That was her comment then. Her critics argue actually we're encouraging this refugee wave to get bigger and bigger. And certainly many of the refugees and migrants I've spoken to up and down the Balkans and here in Central Europe have said that they're expecting a hero's welcome or that big welcome. So she's been toning that down. But if she will, I'm not sure if she will ever actually fix that upper limit, but clearly she's under pressure to. A lot will depend, I think, at the source, where these people are coming from, what happens in Syria, if there is progress towards a settlement there, or if people continue to stay in those big refugee camps around Turkey.
Before I let you both go, I want to ask each of you about a moment that really stuck with you in your reporting on this over the last year. And I'll start with you, Nick Thorpe, in Budapest.
I would say it was probably the moment when about 1,000 migrants and refugees broke out of Budapest and started walking up the highway towards Vienna. That's about 200 miles. There was heavy traffic on the highway, three lanes of traffic there. The Hungarian police, to their credit, didn't try and stop them. It would have been caused chaos if they had. They just tried to shut off the inside lane to give the people next to that speeding traffic a space to walk. In fact, they carried on walking and the government gave up its attempts to stop them and sent buses. I think that was the most dramatic moment. I was walking with them for some of that distance and it was quite astonishing, especially as it got dark on this summer night in early September, to be walking up a major European highway with a crowd of people from the Third World with a police escort, effectively.
I mean, I have to say I wasn't there, but seeing those images, that is definitely going to stand out as one of the moments to remember this year. Joanna, what about you?
Well, for me, it's the arrivals on Lesbos, the people coming on these rubber boats, just packed on these rubber boats. You know, they're wearing these cheap life jackets. They're clutching their babies, and their babies are wearing, you know, those little floaties that you usually wear in the tiny little swimming pools where you have like 3 inches of water, you know, for your babies back in your backyard. I mean, just watching them arrive and seeing, you know, the seeing and feeling and hearing the emotion, it's just stunning, because what they've just survived is this horrible, this horribly scary sea journey, where they could fall into the ocean at any time and drown. And here they finally, you know, landed somewhere, and they scream and they cry and they yell for joy and they hug each other. And I remember this woman, she was this mom with these big, you know, big warm brown eyes, and she was wearing an orange life vest over her, you know, this big flowered shirt. As soon as she reached shore, I remember she just hugged me, and she kept talking in Arabic and hugging everyone she saw on shore. And so did her two little girls. And it was really hard not to cry, because you could really, really hear and see and feel a tiny bit of the drama that this is here on those shores on Lesbos. And you know, and in case you don't feel it, you know, you just start talking to people. And I remember this young Syrian mathematician I met, Futun Suleiman. You know, she was so smart, and she wanted to be a computer scientist, and Russian warplanes had just bombed her home.
That's why I left Syria. I saw dead bodies. I didn't accept that. I can't stand that.
I mean, that really gets to the heart of it, doesn't it? People, you know, Syrians, for example, they have nowhere to go. She has nowhere to go. She has to just keep moving forward on the longest and probably the most dangerous journey of her life.
That's NPR's Joanna Kakissis speaking with us from Athens, and the BBC's Nick Thorpe in Budapest about one of the big stories of 2015, the migration crisis in Europe. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Thanks, Jeremy.